happens, your arms will continue to press outward against a doorframe that's no longer there. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom with help from David Kosea in kinesiology. I'm Don Glass.
It's 2:40. In sports, Illinois football coach Ron Zook says he's hoping for a win over Louisiana Lafayette tomorrow to build momentum heading into the Illini's off week in the Big Ten opener the following weekend. Zook says he'd rather have a week off a little later in the year after conference play starts, but he says he'll take it wherever he can get it. It's the first bye week Illinois has had during Zook's three-plus seasons. College football fans are getting ready for tomorrow night's big game in Los Angeles. The contest will feature top-ranked Southern California and number 5 Ohio State. Each club enters the game unbeaten. The Trojans are 1-0, the Buckeyes 2-0. In the lone top 25 college football game tonight, 19th-ranked South Florida is home to 13th-ranked Kansas. This is just the second meeting between the two schools in football. The first was 2 years ago. Kansas won 13-7. Hurricane Ike is having an impact on Major League Baseball. Tonight's Chicago Cubs game in Houston has been postponed, as well as tomorrow's. These are key games in the National League as each club is fighting for a playoff berth. The St. Louis Cardinals will send Brad Thompson to the mound tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates in place of Kyle Loesch, who's serving a 5-game suspension. Thompson is making his 5th start of the season and 24th appearance. As a starter, he's 2-1 with a 3.05 ERA. Pittsburgh, meanwhile, plans to counter with Paul Maholm, who's looking for his first win in 5 starts. The Chicago White Sox open a 3-game set against the Detroit Tigers at U.S. Cellular Field tonight. The Sox will try to score their 5th home win over Detroit in 7 tries. Chicago is 3-4 so far on its current 10-game homestand. And this weekend's golf stops are in Mobile, Alabama, and Conover, North Carolina. It's the LPGA in Mobile, and second-round play is taking place today in the Bell Micro Classic, while in Conover, it's the Greater Hickory Classic for the Champions Tour. That's sports.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering a wide selection of guaranteed hand-knotted Oriental and Persian rugs of every size and color combination, from new to antique, to complement any decor. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign.
Our next feature this afternoon is the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor. This is a feature that usually you hear in the noon hour of the afternoon magazine, but we had so many calls today on our Talk to Ed segment that we postponed today's installment of the Writer's Almanac. Here it is now.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 12th of September, 2008. It's the birthday of H.L. Mencken, Henry Louis Mencken, born in Baltimore, 1880. He was the son of a cigar factory owner. Nobody in the family had any interest in books. The boy was valedictorian in his high school class, but he took a job at his father's cigar factory, rolling the cigars. He was miserable doing it, but he worked in his father's factory for 3 years when, on New Year's Eve, his father had a convulsion and collapsed. Mencken later said, "I remember well how, as I was going to the doctor's house on that first night, I kept saying to myself that if my father died, I would be free at last." His father died 2 weeks later. The day after the funeral, Mencken put on his suit, went down to the Baltimore Morning Herald asking for a job. He kept coming back every day for the next 4 weeks until they finally let him write a piece. He went on to become one of the most prolific journalists in America. A satirist who wrote about the shams and the con artists in the world. He attacked the Ku Klux Klan and chiropractors and politicians and journalists. He wrote for the American Mercury magazine. He wrote a column for the Baltimore Sun, a national column for the Chicago Tribune, published 2 or 3 books every year. His masterpiece, though, was not satire, but a book that he wrote about something he truly loved, a book called The American Language, a history and collection of American Vernacular Speech, which included a translation of the Declaration of Independence into American English, which began, "When things get so balled up that the people of a country got to cut loose from some other country and go it on their own without asking permission from anybody excepting maybe God Almighty, then they ought to let everybody know why they did it so that everybody can see they're not trying to put nothing over on nobody." The book became a bestseller and is still read today, The American Language. H.O. Mencken, who, when he was asked for an epitaph, said, "If, when I depart this veil, you ever remember me and have thought to please my ghost, forgive some sinner and wink your eye at some homely girl." It was on this day in 1940, in the southwest of France, that four teenage boys who were looking for buried treasure found a hole in the ground where several trees had been uprooted by a storm. They went in and found a cavern about 65 feet wide and 15 feet tall, and when the boys held up their lanterns, they saw the walls of the cave were covered with paintings of animals. They were the famous Lascaux cave paintings, considered to be the greatest works of prehistoric art ever found. People now believe this was probably a chapel for a religion that worshipped animals. Only one painting of a human being, the rest all of animals, bulls and deer, oxen, horses, cats, in yellow, red, brown, and black, realistic drawings, creatures turning their heads, walking through water, falling off cliffs, and the signatures of the artists, their own handprints, which they made by tracing around their own fingers. Here's a poem for today by Ryan Vine, entitled "Where I Am With You." Waking from a nap, we stand at the window, watching dark clouds crawl across the sky, whip state-sized wisps down and out and up. Lights come on early, and people below on the street scurry and bumble about. My arm around you, you say, "Let it rain, let it pour." A poem, "Where I Am With You," by Ryan Vine, from Distant Engines, published by the Backwaters Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can visit them online anytime at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Produced by Katrina Chikala and Ella Shavonik. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. Storyteller Kim Sheehan is my guest in this portion of the program. She joins me to tell us about the Champaign-Urbana Storytelling Guild and its upcoming series of storytelling concerts. There's also a storytelling workshop planned for September 20th. So if you've ever contemplated becoming a storyteller, or if you'd like to be a better storyteller, you might be interested in that. I'll talk with Kim about that as well. Good to see you. Welcome back.
I'm so glad to be here, always.
Could I have you move just a tiny bit closer to the microphone?
How's that?
Excellent.
Okay.
So how long has the Champaign-Urbana Storytelling Guild been around?
Oh, we're probably talking 6-7 years now.
Yeah, and how many members do you have?
We have probably 7 or 8 members who come very, very regularly, who tell professionally around the area, and then another 10 or so who come when they can.
Okay. And membership is open to folks who would like to?
Anybody who's interested. You don't have to be a member to come to a meeting. Basically, if you pay your membership, then you are considered for doing our concerts, that type of thing.
Okay. Very good. So what's your mission? What's the mission of the Guild?
To help people appreciate storytelling, both as tellers and as listeners. We have one member who's told 2 stories in the whole time that we've been together, but he's an excellent audience, and a storyteller needs one. So we want people to see what kinds of stories are out there. We pass information about concerts that are going on in the area, and we do perform as well.
Okay. What sparked your interest in storytelling?
I had when I work at the Spurlock Museum, back when it was the World Heritage, I had a group of sixth graders in May who were very interested in being anywhere except the museum. And I sat them down in front of a statue that has to do with the Trojan War, told them the story of the Trojan War, and they sat there with their mouths wide open and in total interest, and I was hooked. It became a regular part of what I do with tours and programs, and I love it.
Boy, that says a lot about the power of a story, huh?
Yes, it does.
So what happens at a storytelling concert?
Basically, you have people telling stories. Instead of sitting and playing a guitar or singing songs, the person tells stories.
Okay. So how many concerts will you present this fall?
This fall, we have three. The first one is on the 20th of September, and we're very, very lucky to have Janice Del Negro back in town. She is the former professor here on campus in Library and Information Sciences and the head of the Center for Children's Books. She's an award-winning author and just a magnificent storyteller. So she will be here both for a workshop and a concert that day. The workshop is from 1 to 4. It's called Story Crafting. The whole idea of taking a story either off a page or out of your head and how you actually put it together, how do you structure it, how do you put the narrative into it, is how it all is going to work. And she promises by the end, every person at the workshop will have a story they could tell when she's done with them. That's $30 for members, $45 for non-members, and then the concert's at 7 with a $5 admission. We try to make it so that for all of our concerts, if we have a big featured teller, that we also have one of our guild members telling, and mm-hmm. at that one, Barb Bolzer will be telling.
Okay, so that's Saturday, September 20th, and that's going to be at the Iron Post, the concert.
The concert, both the concert and the workshop are at Faith United Methodist Church.
Right.
We normally have our Teller's Arts at Iron Post, but since we needed a Saturday to have the workshop as well, the church was very, very generous in allowing us to be there.
Okay, very good. So that first concert and the workshop is at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign.
Right.
And then next month, on October 22nd, you've got a concert.
Mm-hmm. That is at Iron Post, 7 p.m., $5 admission. And the teller, the feature teller, is Mike Speller. He's from the Joliet area. A very wonderful, expressive teller, very funny. The name of his show will be From A to Z, The Speller and Me. And it has a lot of personal stories in it, stories about his family. I've heard a few of them, and they're terrific. I'm really looking forward to that. And the guild performer for that is Camille Bourne, who's well-known around town as well.
Okay. And then not until December do we have another opportunity, but then to wrap up the year for you in terms of your concert series, you've mm-hmm. got a concert coming up on December 3rd. Tell us about that one.
Our December concert is always a benefit. A couple years ago, we did a woman's fund. We have done Habitat for Humanity, and this year it's for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. At the Iron Post, again, 7 o'clock, $5 admission, and all of our tellers for our benefits are members of the Guild.
Okay. And that includes you?
Yes.
How about that? Okay. Well, let's go back to the workshop, because I understand registration is limited and you need to register. So tell us about that. What's the deadline, and how do we get registered if we're interested?
The 17th is the last day for registration, and they just need to contact me. My home phone number is 309-928-9452, and the home email is Kim Tales, Tales just like storytelling, so KIMTALES at MCHSI.com.
Okay, very good. Well, I thought we would wrap up this afternoon with a story from a storyteller that we know and think
nice.
Very highly of, Dan Ketting. And I thought what we would do is play The King of Ireland's Breakfast. This is from one of Dan's recordings. Anything you just want to give us, say something very quickly about Dan.
Dan is my mentor. He is the mentor of many, many people in our guild. Everything from how to handle the mechanics of a microphone to how to leave someone spellbound. He's got an answer to all of it, and our guild would not be the strong one it is without him.
Okay, let's hear it. The King of Ireland's Breakfast.
One morning, the King of Ireland woke, and he turned to his wife and said, "Do you know what I want for my breakfast today?" And she said, "I have no idea." He said, "I want those berries, the ones we had last year in Donegal." Well, his wife looked at him and said, "Sire, it would take a fast man 2 days to run there and 2 days to run back. Please, just have some porridge for your breakfast." But when the King of Ireland got something in his head, he could never get it out. And so the three fastest warriors in all of Ireland were sent for. He turned to the first one and said, "Conor, how fast can you run?" Now Conor was a young man, full of the brimming life and vitality and the arrogance of being young. He turned to the king and said, "My king, I can run as fast as the hare on the mountain." Well, the king of Ireland shook his head sadly and said, "That's not fast enough." He turned to the second warrior and said, "Cullum, how fast can you run?" And Cullum was another warrior who was young. And he turned to the king and said, "My king, I can run as fast as the wind on the moor." And the king of Ireland shook his head sadly and said, "That's not fast enough either." And then he turned to Fergus. And Fergus was an older warrior who'd been with the king forever. And he was faster yesterday than he is today, and tomorrow he'll be a bit slower. And he said, "Fergus, how fast can you run?" And Fergus leaned forward in his chair. He smiled at the king and he said, "I can run as fast as a storyteller's tongue." And the king of Ireland smiled back and said, "You're the man for me, Fergus. Get me those berries." And Fergus reached his right hand out. He opened his fingers, and there they were. He looked at his king and he said, "I've been there, and I'm back." And that's how the king of Ireland had the berries from Donegal for his breakfast.
And that's Dan Ketting, the King of Ireland's Breakfast, from his CD recording, Strawberries in Winter. Again, if you're interested in the series of concerts that are upcoming from the Champaign-Urbana Storytelling Guild, and if you're interested in the workshop that's coming up on September 20th, the workshop, the deadline for registration for the workshop is this coming September 17th. And so if you're interested in that, what you need to do is you need to contact Kim Sheehan at 309-928-9452. That's 309-928-9452. Or her email, kimtales, that's T-A-L-E-S, at mchsi.com.
Earth and Sky.
Friday, September 12th, 2008. The Earth in its orbit is now swinging between the outer planet Uranus and the Sun.
Uranus is said to be at opposition because it stands opposite the Sun in Earth's sky. Around the world tonight, Uranus will rise in the east at sunset, climb to its highest point at midnight, and set in the west at sunrise.
At or near opposition, Uranus comes closest to Earth for the year and shines at its brightest in our sky. Still, to the eye alone, this world is barely perceptible as a faint speck of light.